What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What a wonderful day. July 3rd, 2024. And I'm here with my friends, Paul Zeiss, City Limits, and IT. Intern Trent, a man of very few words but high character. City Limits is in a hot dog eating contest today. Paul and I are going to play lots of golf the rest of the summer.
Morning show guys were giving us a hard time.
For what?
You, because...
Who are the morning show guys?
I mean, whoever was on today, Donnie
Football?
And Callis.
And Harry Callis.
Yeah,
and Doug Whaley.
Giving him a hard time because he said he can only eat three hot dogs.
Yeah, that's not going to get you a win, not even a place
or a show. What I said is, I know I can eat three hot dogs.
How many
not
are you
like
shooting
is my
for?
Complete limit. I'm putting no limits on the hot dog eating contest.
I like that city limits.
And
what else, Paul?
But they were getting on me because I picked...
Two guys who aren't in it.
Well, you gave me the list.
I thought that they were in it.
He gave me the list and told me who to pick from.
Until Dom texted me a correction that... Charlie Borges and Joel Nelson are not competing today. I thought they were. By all accounts, last week they were. Late dropouts.
Why no Nelly?
Party.
Well, both of them are Nelly. Why no Charles Borges or Jolie?
I don't know. I asked Charlie Borges, and I can't remember what he told me, and I have not reached out to Joel. I'm taking Dom for his word.
Who's the favorite in this thing?
It's got to be Callis or Donnie.
How many guys are in it?
It's Callis, Donnie, myself, Sean Myers, and I think Seth Davis.
Who's
not
that?
To be confused with Reese Davis.
Who's Seth Davis?
He's a promo guy.
Oh, Cornelius?
Yeah, with the glass. I don't know. You call everybody different names.
Skinny.
What about T-Bird?
Yeah, that's Cornelius.
T-Bird might be
Cornelius,
in it too.
The little skinny guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cornelius.
Oh, he's an underrated. He might be an underdog to win this thing. That guy. Paul, he has a pool of anger down there that's deep. He starts
Seth.
Eating. Yeah, little Seth.
There's some anger there.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have known.
Well, you wouldn't because he's always happy, but that only indicates that he's also angry. I think he may win this thing, IT. He might win it.
Well,
if IT jumps in?
What's
the
over-under on the winning number of hot dogs?
I think somebody said it at Callis for 12.5 or 13.5.
No way.
Yes.
And
he's
how much time does he get?
10 minutes.
There's no chance.
Now, can you just inhale the thing?
If you want, but it's not like it's going to be like it's not going to be like the hot dog contest that you see on ESPN.
What are the differences?
Because there they soak the buns.
Yeah, and water.
So they can just basically
disgusting.
So they can just slide it down their throats. They don't even really eat it.
That's not happening today. And
right.
If it does,
today it sounds like
I commend you for whoever does it because it won't be me.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
why are you in it to win it? You shooting for six? Six and a half hot dogs?
If I can tell that other people are struggling and I have a real shot at it, I'm going for it.
See, Paul, that's a big key. Is it one round, one shot
only? One round.
All right, and what's the placement? Where are you placed in this thing? That's the whole key to it.
Placement in terms of what?
In terms of where you go, or you're all doing it at the same time?
Same time, yeah.
Oh.
So I'll know how other people are doing.
You'll
it.
You'll get a sense of
so
it, yeah. I'd line up
like,
next to Harry.
I'm just saying,
if I'm at like three and Callis
like
is at seven, then or Donnie, then...
It sounds like they're going to be... The hot dogs are going to be cooked out back or something?
Yeah.
Who's cooking them?
They're going to be grilled.
Some hot dog company.
Brought
so,
in.
So at the end of the day, you have to eat basically like hot dogs normally, like you would eat them. This isn't like the contests where they soak the buns and they're soaking wet and they just slide them down their throat, which is how they're able to do it. That so if that's the case where you actually have to chew it a little bit and eat it in a traditional way,
yeah,
nobody's getting 13.
No.
In 10
do you
minutes,
have to eat a bun?
You have to eat the bun too.
Nobody's getting 13, not no, even
you
Harry.
Have to eat the bun too,
hey,
right?
Hey Rivers. Attention in here,
yeah,
please.
Yeah,
who are you talking to? We're in the middle
job.
Of a show.
I'm talking to Jack Kilgrove. He's here for orientation today.
I'll tell him hello and pay attention to the show, for God's sake.
What sakes. Is he doing orientation for?
What's he doing orient? Oh, my God. This thing's gone off the rails early
here,
Paul.
He's here to check things out.
Do you have to...
He's here to officiate the hot dog eating contest.
You have to eat them one at a time with a bun?
Yes, one at a time with a bun. I'm sure you could eat them two at a time, but I don't know if anybody's going to do that.
That might be an excellent strategy. A double-decker bun and hot dog. You get two and one, two for one. Paul, I'd be doing that. How big are the hot dogs?
Do you have to eat the bun, right?
Yeah, you have to eat the bun. Pony tweeted out a picture of the hot dogs. They look normal size, maybe a little bit larger than a normal hot dog.
I would stick the hot dog. What if you eat two hot dogs and one bun? No count? That's not two?
No, that's not
so
two.
So one and a half?
What would be hilarious if Pony's tricking us all and he buys foot-long hot dogs?
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Very proud of you, City Limits, just for entering the contest. Are you, Paul?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. I don't think I could do it.
Does Harry eat 11 of them? Over, under 10 and a half
maybe
for Harry?
Maybe 11.
Has Harry mentioned how many, does he have a record just from a, you know, a picnic, family picnic or something?
Well, how about Malzy gave him four hot dogs the other day when Malzy was doing the morning show.
What, is it practice? Did Malzy have a whistle
and
on? Malzy he was running Harry through
him.
Drills?
Malzy timed him and thinks that the race is wide open, according to
so
Pony
he
and
under,
Mueller.
He underperformed in practice. Maybe he's a game
possibly.
Day player. Could be a game
I'm
day
just
player.
Saying, 11, 12, 13 in 10 minutes. Eating them the traditional way, that's a lot.
So my strategy is just to not eat any of the pizza today, thanks to Slice on Broadway. Maybe one slice.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't. No, don't. What?
No
don't
slices
do
at all?
No,
well,
no slices.
Mueller tried to tell me to eat some food beforehand.
Yeah, because
and I was
he's
like,
sabotaging you. He wants Harry
that.
To win.
Right. So I'm just not going
to
eat anything
no,
and then just
Donnie
eat on an empty stomach.
Yeah, Donnie, that's what I meant.
You shouldn't do it on an empty stomach, though, I don't think.
So then I should eat something.
No, you might be right
so then
about
I eat,
that.
You should eat one piece.
You know what?
Eat.
Coat your stomach with olive oil. That's what I did one year
you
before
know you
drinking
should do?
On St. Patrick's.
How did it work out for
eat
you?
One of those,
poorly.
Okay.
I wound up naked.
Eat one of those garlic knots.
Okay.
That'll get something in your stomach so that you won't be completely... You have to have a little bit of something in your stomach.
Well, again, my over-under is set at 2.5. And I feel like if I can't hit 2.5, if I can't eat 3, significant disappointment in my mind.
I get the feeling that IT, from the look he just shot me, wants me to go back to how I wound up naked after doing a shot of olive oil
I'm
on
also
St.
curious.
St. Patrick's Day. IT, am I right about that? He says yes.
Man of few words says
none
sure.
None in this case, just a head nod.
Sure.
No, I'm not going to go into that story.
How was the...
What? Paul?
What's the most food you've ever eaten in a mass food eating competition or just...
Well, I've never been in a competition. I got a tiny and very sensitive stomach. I told you, there's at least once or twice a month where I have to leave this show to go have more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. Right? So, I mean, you know, like 6 pieces of pizza, maybe? Something like that. I'm not a prolific...
Young? See, the reason I have the same problems you have with stomachs, and part of it is because I used to have those kinds of eating feats like these guys.
Mine were more drinking feats, I would say. Like the unnatural act of drinking, trying to drink a case of beer, something like that. Like nobody would... It dawned on me at one point that nobody would sit down and try and succeed in drinking 14 glasses of milk. Or 14 bottles of Diet Coke, you'd be sick, right? If
yeah.
you did that?
Yeah.
So how is beer different?
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It is true. I'm not sure. That's a very good point.
Isn't it a good
if you
point?
You sat and drank 14 Cokes, you'd be really sick.
Right.
But if you drink 14 beers, you're just a little bit tipsy. Depending on what You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so tell me, how was your day at
Laurel?
At Laurel Valley Golf Club.
Wonderful. I met a guy named Ed Garofalo, one of the three nicest men on earth that I've ever met, right up there with Jerry DePaula and Marc-Andre Fleury. And then there was a guy named Doug and a guy named Lauren, kind of like Lauren Brisbois.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbois. Remember that defenseman?
Well, that was good. And how did you do? Did you feel like you ate it?
I did pretty bad. We're supposed to get my caddy. We had caddies out there. I'm going to give you a number for a guy named Kyle. Legendary figure. He saw me at my best and worst, Paul. And you know what it's like when I'm at my worst. I almost threw all my clubs in the lake, but I didn't at one point. I tried not to be outwardly angry because it's such a nice course. So instead I sulked and went back to the cart and sulked at various times, which everybody got a kick out of. But it was fun. I think I shot an even 100. I couldn't approach. My drives were great. My approaches were horrible. And my putting was not very good. But I took solace in parring three holes. I parred three holes at Laurel. That's not bad, is it?
That's not bad at all. I did better. I played yesterday at Birdsfoot. You know, we actually got some going low content out there, you know, for our going low show.
How'd you do?
My putting is so embarrassingly bad.
So is mine.
The course is in great shape. That course is unbelievable. Really, it's one of those courses that's up 28 there, way up there, so you kind of forget about it. You know? But it's a great course. But my putting was such an embarrassment. I feel like I'm going to get to the green from now on and have someone else putt.
Pay them. Yeah.
Just pay one, whoever else is playing with me, just say, listen, why don't you putt for me? I mean, I can't tell you the number of holes. I told you on Saturday, I hit the ball better than I've hit it for 3 years, you know, when I played with my buddies on Saturday. So I wanted to see, okay, is it still translating? And yesterday I hit the ball. I didn't hit it as well as I did Saturday, but I hit it really well. But I can't tell you the number of times I was on the fringe or right above the, you know, right in front of the green and two.
Yeah.
And took a five or a six. Just embarrassing.
I think I set a record the other day. Where was it? Old Stonewall. It must be their record for four putts in a single day. I'm somewhere, there's a plaque of me somewhere up at Shakespeare's or whatever the name of that place is there. There he is, the record for four putts in a single day.
I mean, I hit the green on one of the par threes and took a five.
You know, I know the feeling. Yeah. I do know how bad that is because I just did it.
So I think I shot like 93.
Yeah.
I really hit the ball like I should have shot like an 85. But that's how bad I was putting.
Putting's part of the game. Paul, we have a pirate mystery. We open today with a pirate mystery.
Oh, boy.
What is happening here? Noah Hyles and others report last night accurately that the Pirates are expected to recall Joshua Palacios from AAA Indy prior to today's game against the Cardinals. However, writes Hyles, the Pirates' plan was put on pause after a series of factors Tuesday night. The team was prepared to make a move but reversed course. So, what is happening here? To me, it looks like Jack Sawinski having one good game has caused this promotion to be put on hold. And if I know Ben Jarrington and the moves that he makes and the mindset he's brought to this job, Jack Sawinski probably just bought himself a month because he had one good game.
Right.
Is this guy, Jarrington, going to sit here and watch this, not help the team get to the point at the deadline where they are contending and then say, well, what am I supposed to do? They didn't show me they did enough. I believe you wrote about this, Paul. And that's my fear right now. So now we're going to wait on Sawinski because he had a good game? Is that the idea? Then send somebody else down.
And if that's the case,
then trade somebody else. Get rid of somebody else. DFA somebody else. I don't care what you do. What are we doing here? with the Pirates. What are we doing?
Well, that's the whole point. If that's the case, it's absurd. If that's the case, and again, we don't know that to be the case, but it sounds like, I mean, it seems surely like that, you know. And what was the way it was reported? Well, certain circumstances changed.
Now, if it's a trade for a real player, then I'll abruptly change course with my opinion.
Do you think that's the case?
No.
That's the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem of it all. Because to me, if you really look at it from afar, I mean, it's such a horrible, horrible optics or whatever we call it, optics, right? It really is. Terrible.
Jack Sawinski is still batting like 183. I look at the lineup last night. This is just on repeat here. I'm sick of talking about it, but we have to keep talking about it because it feels like, you know, it almost feels like they don't want us to talk about it. You know what I mean? They don't want people to talk about it. All they want is patience and internal improvements. And what's the other one that I'm getting real sick of? There's another Pirate saying that I'm tired of, but I can't remember. Last night's box score. All right, you have O'Neill Cruz batting third. He shouldn't be batting third in any major league lineup right now. Connor Joe's your cleanup hitter. This guy has been cast as you know, Mickey Mantle in this lineup all year. You know, he got off to a good start. Great. He's still he's Connor Joe.
Right.
Then we have Olivares pinch hitting for Tellez and getting two at-bats. He's horrible. His last extra base hit was a month and a half ago. And then the bottom of the order is just tragic. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Sawinski had a good game. Great. And Grandal, who is so, so bad at the plate. He's down to 174. He makes what's-his-name look like Johnny Bench. Who's the guy they had in last year they had to get rid of because he couldn't hit?
Austin Hedges.
Yeah, him. Austin Hedges. Man, I'm tired of watching this. And there was something particularly annoying about seeing the Cardinals come in here, having come off just one bad season.
Right.
And now they're going to make the playoffs again, I bet. They have that look about them. They have that Cardinal look about them. And Ben Cherington just sits there and does nothing. Now, he doesn't even call anybody up because Sawinski had a good game. Is that the reason here? Thoughts? Right. Your thoughts?
I mean, I look at it as the same way as you. I was talking about this yesterday, and it gets a little old for me. It seems like, and I said this to you on Monday, they're trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
It seems to me like they are.
He's in the four corners.
Okay with the idea that, well, if we just kind of hang around and we're in the same position at the trade deadline, we'll be able to make the case to our fans, well, we don't think this is the year to do it. We don't think this is the year to do it. You know what I mean? And as a result, and I was really, you would have been really depressed, Joe. You'd have been really depressed yesterday when Destiny's Child was on with us.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how,
I was just going to mention that. I was listening.
He expects Aroldis Chapman to maybe be traded.
Right.
Perez to be maybe traded. Gonzalez to maybe be traded.
Yeah.
That would be so depressing.
I think that Destiny.
And he's like, and he put a spin on it like, well, you know, it would be like sort of selling off some assets, getting more assets in so that you can make a run next year.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that?
Nobody. Although I think that Destiny's Child, who's rapidly becoming a legend, can we get that to play low in the background? There we go. Say my name, say my name. Keep this while we talk about Destiny. Your introduction yesterday was tremendous to Destiny's Child. He's really good because I think he actually does reflect what the Pirates are thinking. But then when he delivered his opinion, Destiny's Child, I just completely disagree. When he says this is not the year because who knows if they'll even get in. They don't have a good enough lineup. No, here's the situation. Once you get to the playoffs, if you get there, and granted, it's a big if, but if you get there, you have a chance to win series. It's a different sport in the playoffs. It's all about pitching. It's all about how do I win a short series. I don't have to worry about this other crap about, you know, saving my bullpen and all this BS.
Right.
It's about putting Skeens, Jones, and Keller out there and winning series. And they have a chance this year right now. And more to the point, for the 8 billionth time, if you're not in a position where you can dip into your prospect pool for even one really good prospect to bring back a hitter, even a rental hitter. Years of control. That's the other phrase I'm tired of. I just thought of it. Well, you have to get years of control. No, you don't. You got to get a good hitter. And if you're not in position where you can jettison one really good prospect to help your cause this season, then you've done a horrible job of building up your farm system over 5 years of tanking.
Well, and that's the whole point, too. With all the parameters that they have, how in the world are they ever going to be able to make a trade?
Exactly.
We need years of control, but we also need lower salaries. Plus, we also need the person to be, younger. And we also need the person to have a certain F war or something like that. And, you know what I'm saying?
It's and we might not make it. So, you know,
we can't trade our own, risky here. We don't want to trade our own guys because they might become really good.
The franchise will survive if you trade Brandon Ashcraft. Is that his name?
Braxton.
Same thing. Is that his brother who pitches
Mitch
in
Jeb.
The majors?
No, they're not related.
Mitch Jeb. That's right. Or even
Sotomayor or whatever his name is.
Solomato. You take one guy. None of them are clinches to make it, by the way. And you parlay him into a hitter for the rest of this season and take a run at it. Guess what? You still have Skeens, Keller, and Jones for several years. All 20-somethings. Keller is still a 20-something. As the backbone of your rotation, you have Bubba Chandler, if you don't move him, coming in next year. And then you backfill with whoever, the next Bailey Falter or Bailey Falter himself. Come on. What are we doing here? They need not to be in the business of hoarding prospects anymore. They should have enough where you barely notice if one leaves.
Well, that's the thing they're going to do, though.
I know.
I'm starting to believe that
Destiny's Child is
right. I'm starting to believe that he's probably onto something.
Destiny's Child is a prophet, I think.
It was funny when I asked, I asked Shelton. I said, well, Destiny's Child's got it all figured out for you.
What did he say?
He started laughing. He said, well, I'm glad to hear that. I have to talk to him later to find out, you know, all the answers to the questions we have.
I mean, he might be right. And you know what? In the end, if your bullpen is healthy and you trade, let's say, Aroldis Chapman, I don't think that's the end of the world either.
Right.
That's fine. Because if it's designed, as Destiny's Child told you yesterday, to make a bigger deal in the offseason. You know, it's never a bad thing to accumulate prospects with an eye toward making your team better. The Padres got rid of Josh, or no, I'm sorry, God bless me. The Brewers got rid of Josh Hader a couple of years ago, and everybody was up in arms in Milwaukee, but one of the prospects they got back was parlayed into Contreras, who's a great player, an all-star. That's how you do business here.
Right.
In a market like Milwaukee, which is virtually the exact same as Pittsburgh. So if you have Bednar back and healthy, Holderman pitching great, Majinski, Borecki, Nicklaus has had moments, guys like that. You put Perez or Gonzalez back in the bullpen and you want to trade Chapman. Okay. I get it. Your hopes aren't down the drain because of that. But the idea,
you think it would be a really, really, really bad look to trade him?
Not necessarily, because I still think your bullpen could be just as good. And he's been a little mercurial himself. Who's to say he's not headed for another either injury or another period of blowups? You know what I mean, Paul?
Well, true.
I don't know. I'm just saying that one in and of itself wouldn't crush me. As long as you're bringing in another deal, maybe, somebody who can bolster your lineup.
But I think the biggest thing is, he would be like the biggest chip that you would trade. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to see what here's what I always say. I have to see what it looks like when it's all said and done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they don't get a couple of guys that are legitimate major league hitters at the trade deadline, then I will basically say that they basically punted on the season. But even if they trade a guy like Chapman or even a Perez, if they go out and get people that are, get a couple of guys back that are good hitters, well, you know, they can overcome those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, it's just this. We're going to talk to the Noah Constrictor next. What happened here? Palacios is on his way. Sawinski has one good game, and that changes. Is that the reason, first of all? And secondly, is that a good reason? I mean, aren't you tired of this out there? And doesn't it especially hit home when the Cardinals come to town, rejuvenated, re-energized, those Cardinal colors walking in here and beating your ass in game one? And you just know you have that pit in your stomach, like, oh my God, the Cardinals have sunk for 1 year and now they're rising up again ahead of the Pirates. Is that what's going to happen this season? Maybe it doesn't. But man, it's sure inching in that direction. And now if the Pirates lose today, they're 5 games below. The lowest they got was 6 games below. It feels like they're teetering here. It feels like they're teetering. And like you've said, it almost feels like they'll be okay if they teeter off to the point where they don't have to make a big move.
Right.
Or aren't pressured to make a big move.
Well, that was one of the things I wrote in my column the other day, Joe, where I said basically, unless the Pirates do what they did in 2018 before the Chris Archer trade. If you remember in 2018.
Yeah.
Right before the trade deadline, or there was like a 20 or 30 day span there where they went crazy and won a bunch of games and really forced Neil Huntington to make a deal. If they don't do that here, I don't think there's going to be, you know, much going on at the trade deadline.
I think what people here hate the most is the idea that you're not in the fight. You know, it begins with the payroll and then it gets down to things like just waiting around while this pop gun lineup gets destroyed all the time. I think people hate that more than anything.
Right.
And that's why when you get an ass kicker like an AJ Burnett or a Paul Skeens or even a Jared Jones walk into your clubhouse, it just lifts you. You know, it's like the kid that keeps getting beaten up and now he's got one of the football players on his side, you know, the strongest kid in the school.
Right.
You know, you get tired of that. And I think fans hate that more than anything. They hate just sitting there doing nothing while you're getting your rear ends kicked in. Like, you want to be part of the fight. And even if they go out and get a rental and the guy that they trade becomes a star and the rental flops, you know, I still go back to the Chris Archer trade. At least they did it. At least they tried. You know, it was horrible, but at least they tried.
Yeah.
And that failure shouldn't keep them from trying again.
But again, they're only going to do it if they feel like they're legitimately fully in the race. And if they don't.
And how do we define that? How should they define that?
I would say you're 3 games out, you're in the race.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? Like, but I guarantee you they're going to play all kinds of games. And here's the other thing that they're notorious for. The ask was too much. We couldn't give up, you know, an extra prospect to make it happen.
Very curious situation here with Palacios apparently going to be recalled and then suddenly not. And you can't help but say, all right, because Sawinski had a good. So what would be, all right, you want to see if Sawinski gets hot? How about any one of 5 other guys that you could get rid of and
right.
sort of reconfigure your team? I don't know. The whole. What about Olivares? What is the attraction there? Can somebody please fill me in on that, Paul?
I don't understand it at all. Not at all, actually.
Has he, his last extra base hit was June 26th, and he plays almost every day. He plays almost every day. He hasn't had as much as a double since June 26th, and they roll the guy out there in some form every single day. I don't blame you if you're a Pirates fan and you feel like you're going crazy. Like when you see the lineup, wait, is that happening again? Are they just going to sit there and do nothing? I don't blame you if you're feeling like you've gone nuts here. So get rid of him and bring up Palacios if that's the case.
Right.
Hopefully they're working on a big trade, and that's the reason why. Let's ask the Noah Constrictor. Noah Hiles coming up next from the Post-Gazette. We'll ask him also about the progress of Henry Davis. I'm curious what the plan is with Skeens moving forward as far as saving innings and things like that. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's off the top. Presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We're going to have not only Noah Hiles, who else is on the show as we prepare for the hot dog eating contest later? City Limits.
We got the General at 10:55. We got Jonathan Bomboli at 11:05.
Talking about the Penguins plan, yes.
And help me, Dan, Mr. Zangrilli at 1 o'clock.
It's a banner show. That's JP Roofing. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Have you seen this Mason Rudolph lookalike at Wimbledon, Paul?
No, huh? Who is it?
I don't know. I don't know what his name is. I just looked up and he looks just like Mason Rudolph. I used to like make plans around watching Wimbledon 30 years ago when it was Connors and Borg and McEnroe and Lendl and Arthur Ashe before that and people like that. It felt like appointment viewing. And I'll tell you what ruined tennis for me was the technology. Where we reached the point where it's serve, end of point, serve, end of point. You got guys serving 800 miles an hour. Yeah. I lost it. Maybe that and a combination of lesser personalities.
Well, there's that. But I mean, I think a big part of it for a long, long time, men's tennis in this country just was ravaged and fell way behind.
Yeah.
There was a point where what was his name? John Isner? Was that his name?
I don't know. I had lost interest by that point.
Maybe it was Matt Isner. Something Isner. And he was our highest rated player. You know, highest rated American player in the world tennis rankings. And
yeah.
He was like in the 30s. Like there was a point where we literally had like three guys in the top 50. Now, it's gotten better. It's John Isner, but it's gotten better from the standpoint of this. I'm looking at the rankings right now. We have three guys, 12, 13, and 14, but still we have nobody in the top 10.
Alcaraz, whatever his name is. He looks like Mason Rudolph. Check this out.
I'm saying we have nobody in the top 10, but we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from 10 to 30.
And I couldn't name any of them.
So we are in better shape, believe it or not, now than we had been maybe 5, 8 years ago when men's tennis here was dead.
It felt like even when it was good and they had great players, they had no personalities, though, in recent decades.
But I think, like, who was our last great player? Pete Sampras?
Probably. I don't know. I can't talk tennis anymore.
And then for a while there, you got to remember, what was my man's name that just dominated? There was two of them.
Americans?
No, the two top tennis guys.
Oh, Federer and
Roger Federer and
the other guy.
The other guy.
What's his name? City Limits.
I have no idea.
Nadal.
And then
Rafael Nadal.
And who's the guy that the not vaccinated guy that
Novak Djokovic?
Novak Djokovic. So you had Djokovic?
Novak Djokovic. Are you kidding
me? That was his name.
He's the no vaccine guy and his name is Novak.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, City Limits.
But you had him, between him, Federer, and who's Nadal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be willing to bet that they for the last 15, 18 years probably have won just about every single major.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very curious pirate situation. Reports from the likes of Noah Hyles, a.k.a. the Noah Constrictor, last night indicating that Josh Palacios was headed up from AAA Indianapolis, where he's been performing. The outfield in Pittsburgh has been beyond hideous. It's been embarrassingly bad and basically killing the Pirates' season, or contributing to it anyway. And all of a sudden, it wasn't happening. And it's hard not to draw the conclusion that because Jack Sawinski had one good game, that killed the promotion of Palacios. Noah, welcome aboard. You're on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Look at him, Paul. He looks like $1 million, doesn't he?
Oh, as always.
For sure.
Look at that guy. Are we on to something here? Why did this happen, Noah?
Well, I mean, I think your theory certainly makes sense. What I've been told was a couple of separate pieces of information came into play Tuesday evening that led to this decision not being completed. I learned of their desire to promote Palacios during yesterday's game. I waited to report it after the game, just, you know, to confirm everything. And once it was reported, that report was confirmed by someone from a different outlet who has different sources than me. So it was pretty established that this was something they planned to do. But for one reason, or for multiple reasons, I should say, according to what I've been told, that plan changed Tuesday evening. I learned this morning that the club no longer intends to make any moves prior to Wednesday evening's game against the Cardinals. So what exactly led to that change? I can't say for sure. But
well, use your imagination. What could it be?
Right.
What could it be?
Right.
Other than Sawinski finally having a good game, what are some other possible explanations in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, my bigger question was, if this was something they were considering, why wouldn't they have just made this move Monday during the off day? That would have probably made just as much sense, right? That way you don't give the opportunity for these separate pieces of information to come to the forefront. But I mean, you look, I mean, two guys have options in the Pirates outfield right now, Sawinski and Oliveris. You're not going to DFA, or you're not going to demote Oliveris because he's been your second best outfield bat over the past month. Whereas Sawinski, I mean, since being recalled from AAA prior to yesterday's game, had a 43.5% strikeout percentage, was hitting under 200. And, you know, that three-hit game he had yesterday, that was his first three-hit game of the season. So it certainly does seem that Sawinski's performance Tuesday night played at least a part in the decision to delay or pause, I should say, Palacios' recall.
Well, I mean, if that's true... that is the absolute most silly thing I've ever heard. Because as you said, they had an off day on Monday. They could have made the move on Monday. If it really is just that simple, well, we're going to give you one last chance to show us. And in one game, he has three hits, and all of a sudden now he's going to be here for another month. Then that would be a terrible way to do business. Nevertheless, the larger issue to me is, you know, what will it take now to get somebody like Palacios up, or somebody even Peguero, somebody like that to come up, given the fact that, as we continue to talk about, there's far too many outs in this lineup?
I wouldn't discount the idea of Palacios still being recalled this homestand. I think that you know, maybe, and again, this isn't official, but if the Sawinski performance Tuesday night played a factor in their decision, then perhaps they're just waiting to see what happens next. And if he continues to put together good at-bats and produce good results, then that might confirm that they want to keep Jack around. But what I don't think has really been brought to the forefront since all of this transpired was, prior to yesterday's game, I asked Derek Shelton, hey, you know, you guys sent Sawinski down to AAA to fix some stuff. He was only down there for a week and was recalled because of an injury. Did you guys hope to get him a little bit more time in AAA? And Shelton said yes. He said sometimes plans are altered due to, you know, a need. They had to expedite his time in AAA to bring him up because Bay went on the IL and Michael A. Taylor went on the paternity list, and they needed a guy who could play center field. And he's been on the team since then. So the fact that that was even admitted shows that, yeah, they probably do want to get him more opportunities in AAA to develop him. And I don't think that that necessarily changes after one game. I think that maybe they just saw something that they hadn't seen in a long time from him Tuesday night, and they want to give him a couple more games to see if he can piece that together before sending him back down.
Or maybe they're looking for him to bolster his trade value. That thought just occurred to me. And if that's the case, all right. All right, if he can get a good, like a great week out of Jack Sawinski in order to put him on the table, then I guess I could buy this. But in the meantime, Noah, and we're talking to Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In the meantime, what are they waiting for? Like, what's the point with Edward Olivares? What are they paying him? $1.3 million. This dude is a terrible defender, and he doesn't hit for any power. He hasn't had an extra base hit, Noah. Do you know when his last extra base hit was? Do you have a guess on that?
It wasn't in June. I know that.
No, it wasn't.
In June, they're all singles.
No, yeah. It wasn't. It was May 16th against the Chicago Cubs. I'm not talking homers. I'm talking extra base hits. No, I'm sorry. May 26th against Atlanta. And his last one before that was about a week earlier. I mean, this is ridiculous. If you consider yourself a contender, they have two of the worst players in baseball this season. Sawinski and Michael A. Taylor are two of the worst players in all of baseball this season. Then you compound that with Olivares not doing anything, with Connor Joe slumping now for a month and a half, practically. Like, what is Ben Cherington waiting for here?
I can't answer that because I'm not Ben Cherington, but I would look at the schedule right now, and you look at this 10-game stretch that they just began yesterday. You've got three against the Cardinals, well, two now. You've got four against the Mets. You've got three against the Brewers. That gets you to the final series before the All-Star break, which is against the worst team in baseball. I feel like by the time you get to that series in Chicago, you're going to have a really good idea of what this team's going to look like, or the mentality of this front office, especially for the remainder of the year. I mean, you've got an opportunity now with these nine games now remaining to make up some substantial ground, not only in the wild card race, but in your division race. You're playing the two teams ahead of you in the NL Central standings, and you're also playing the Mets, who are ahead of you in the wild card race. If you put together a winning record and you make up some ground, then I think that that tells the front office, hey, we definitely are a team that needs to add. This is a team. Look at what they just did. They came out with a winning record against the division leader and two of the hottest teams in baseball over the past month plus. So that's what I think they might be waiting to see here, Joe, is how this goes over these 10 games. If they can scrape together 6-7 wins out of their next nine, then that's going to be enough for them to say, okay, they showed us they can compete against the best teams in the National League or teams that are playoff caliber in the National League, and it's time to add to the roster. Where on the flip side, if they don't perform and they stay 5-5 or go under 500, they're going to fall further out of this thing, and it might be a scenario similar to what my pal Destiny's Child painted on these same airwaves 24 hours ago.
How amazing is it? That would be absolutely amazing to me. I mean, if you're three or four games out and you decide that you're not in the race, what are we even doing anymore here? I mean, as we've talked about, and I'm not attacking you, I'm attacking this mentality from the Pirates, if this is where they're going to go with it. What you're saying and what you're doing here is you're telling your fans that basically, you know, to wait one more year. Next year, you know what? We're going to do it next year. Well, next year you're not guaranteed to have Jones, Skeens, Keller all healthy and, you know, pitching at a really high level like you do this year. It's like you got to go when you've got the three big guns going. That's when you got to take your shot, isn't it?
I mean, on paper, it's not the worst thing in the world if this team has a slight improvement and doesn't make the playoffs, but, you know, it wins more games than it did last year, and you get a successful rookie season of Jones and Skeens under your belt. But to your point, Paul, I mean, I think the frustrating thing will be if this club doesn't make the playoffs this year, you're going to be able to look back and say, okay, but they could have. They could have. They lost a lot of very winnable games that could have been victories had a couple of moves been made, just a little bit more of an investment. If they were just a little bit more aggressive or better in the offseason, they might have made the playoffs. If they had just maybe promoted a couple of guys a little earlier or were quicker to pull the plug on certain players a little earlier, maybe it wouldn't have had to be until next year. And again, this whole season, it's still got a whole second half, so we don't know what's going to unfold. But if it does end up being a case where they end up selling a couple of assets at the deadline and start preparing for 2025, 2024 is always going to be looked at as a year where some people can make a legit argument that this could have been a playoff team if they were just a little bit more aggressive toward adding on to areas that were a clear area of need.
Paul, may I engage the Noah Constrictor in a game of free association?
You can.
It's got to be a quick one, Noah, because we have the general on the line. So one-word answer is maybe a yes or no, if possible. You ready?
Yeah.
Henry Davis, when is he going to be back?
August.
Andy Rodriguez will play some form of professional baseball this season.
No.
Andy's still a catcher despite the Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
Pirates are totally convinced Nick Gonzalez is their long-term answer.
No, not totally.
Pirates will trade for Luis Robert or a similar player before the deadline.
Absolutely not.
Destiny's Child said Aroldis Chapman might be on the trade block. Will they trade him?
Potentially.
Will they trade Gonzalez? I'm talking Marco.
Higher likelihood of that happening.
Perez.
Similar boat.
McCutchen will be back next season.
Highly likely.
Back issues are a legitimate excuse or explanation for the complete lack of production and the disaster of a season that Ke'Bryan Hayes is having.
Legitimate excuse.
Skeens will skip some starts coming up here to save innings.
Maybe one or two.
Skeens will be an all-star.
Yes.
Thank you, Noah Constrictor. I have no further questions. Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.
He's a legend, isn't he, City Limits? The Noah Constrictor?
He's the man.
Let's go to the general, speaking of legends. Jeff Patton, General Patton, Baseball, Card Castle, and Cranberry, your chance to win Starkey's Card of the Week. Every Wednesday, right around noon, at our 93.7thefan.com contesting page. General, your card of the week. Let's guess on that. Paul, you got a guess?
Give me one second here. Hang on.
City Limits, you can jump in if you like. Anyone? IT?
Let's go with... Wow. Let's go with...
I'm going to go with
LeBron James.
I'm going to go with Bronny James. Limits?
Can I go with Bryce James, the youngest brother who's in high school? No, let's go Matthew Tkachuk, the Stanley Cup winners.
General, what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I'm just glad I'm not limited to one-word answers.
No, you're not.
I gave you no chance this week. Because it was a slow week in current sports, I went to a part of the business that I love, which is commemorating sports history. And 62 years ago today, the great Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in the Baseball Hall of Fame, inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's always a great day to get the great Jackie Robinson's baseball card. I got a 1961 Baseball Scoops Jackie Robinson card.
That is awesome.
Well, that's really nice. Yeah, obviously.
It is. It's one of the cooler cards we've given away. It's different. It's vintage. And it's a different side of the business. You know, a lot of the business is now speculation about who's going to be great. There's no doubting how great Jackie Robinson was as a human being and as a baseball player.
Well, a book that I periodically go back and reread, because I think it might be the greatest sports book ever written, is The Boys of Summer by Roger Kahn, about those old Dodgers teams and then what became of those Dodgers players later in their lives. So a lot of the book is about, and I'm sure, Paul, you've discovered this in years of covering athletes, the challenges, sometimes the emptiness of trying to live a normal life after a career in sports, especially when you're a great athlete.
Right.
It is such a great book. And it also, really, from the eyes of a beat writer who saw Jackie Robinson every day, the chronicling of all the racial tensions at the time and discussions between Roger Kahn and Jackie Robinson about what Roger would write in the newspaper the next day. Like, did Jackie Robinson want this stuff in the paper, or would it only make it worse for him? All those kinds of things, all depicted in that book. It's an unbelievable book, General.
I often think, if I could have been at one sporting event, what would it have been? And I think of three or four days that Robinson played, and they get votes for, would have been great to be teleported into time to watch those events. That's for sure.
Me too. I've told Paul here, my dad grew up in Brooklyn, used to sneak into Ebbets Field, and he said he's never seen anything like it in sports when Jackie Robinson was on third and everybody knew he was going to try and steal home. So the whole place was standing, and he did it anyway without an element of surprise. That dude would steal home.
That's one of the days I wish I was there.
Thank you, General.
Oh, you're welcome. I think your listeners will enjoy this card. You guys enjoy the 4th.
Appreciate it, man. Happy 4th.
Absolutely. You know, I've done this show now for about 4 months or something.
Yeah.
What exactly happens now with this card?
This card is now up on our website, will be, and people can log in for a chance to win it. There's a contest.
Basically. Oh, okay. So now, does he make more of these cards available to purchase or something?
I don't think so. I think it's a one-time up on the website.
See, I was confused.
Somebody's going to win it.
I was confused last Saturday, a friend of mine texted me that he was at Cranberry Castle or whatever, with a whole bunch of people for the card of the week. So that's what I was wondering. Like, do they make more of them available?
Interesting. I don't know.
To purchase?
Have to ask the general on that one.
Yes, exactly.
But I know they have a lot of great events at the Card Castle. And I also know that when I walk in there, it's like walking back into my childhood. It's unbelievable. Literally millions of cards and all kinds of other memorabilia, sticks, bats, photos, autographs, everything you could ever imagine. It's like a wonderland of sports memorabilia. Anyway, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy summer drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91 today, with sunny skies. Up next, Jonathan Bomboli on the Penguins. I wrote this morning, you know, the ruse of this alleged rebuild. This ain't a rebuild. They're paying people all kinds of money to be good hockey players. And if they live up to their paychecks, and that would include the head coach, by the way, this should be a good team. I mean, is it asking too much for Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang to be really good like they're supposed to be? For Rickard Rakell to score goals? For Crosby and Malkin to be good? For the $27 million goalie to live up to the talent level that had him get two All-Star bids already in the last 4 years? This roster is designed to win now. Forget about this soft rebuild crap. How about everybody play to their potential? And how about the coach find a way to do that, to get him there? Let's talk to Jonathan Bumboli about that next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.